changing a problematic narrative after 28 years, proving you're still elite, getting yourselves in the conversation about the optics of the number of no-hitters this season. Sarah Spain, I'm back filling in for Tony Reale. He's got chest and tries today. And there's no one here to mute me when I say optics.
Whee! Optics.
Can we say narrative? What else can we say? Do tell, do tell.
All the banned words, all of them are gone.
Let's do it.
By the way, you can't neglect chest and tries.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned banned words, George, because I'm instituting a new one today, and it's just for you. Starting your answer, any answer, with look or listen is going to result in an immediate and gleeful mutilation, so you have been warned. Let's go around the horn. 27 points, 15 rebounds, and 8 assists for Paul George as he led the still Kawhi-less Clippers to a 106-92 win over the Suns in Game 3 last night. Devin Booker and Chris Paul combined to shoot 10 for 40. Jay Crowder fouled out, and Campaign left early with an ankle injury. So, George, I ask you, is this more about the Clippers figuring something out or the Suns having an off night?
So, Sarah, it's a little bit of both, I would say. So, you got to give credit to Ty Lue. Ty Lue has shown us, certainly going back to his Cleveland days, and now we're seeing it again with this Clippers team, that he's great at adjustments, subtle adjustments that we've seen through this series. And it's not just Pat Beverly on Devin Booker. What you've seen is less and less doubles on Devin Booker as this series has progressed. And they're kind of stepping back, playing those passing lanes a little bit, creating big problems for Devin Booker, who was carving them up in those passing lanes. The other thing you got to give credit to is Paul George. Paul George had a miserable first half, but in that third quarter, he took over getting, you know what? Great looks, Sarah. That's what he did. He got great looks in that third quarter to be able to take advantage. And despite not having an efficient game, he still willed his team through with 27, 15, and 8. So I would give a little more credit to the Clippers, but Chris Paul's a little rusty. He won't be as rusty.
An answer after my own heart, where you equivocated on both sides, which is something I love doing, and Tony never allows. Also, 5 different starting lineups in the last 8 games for them. So you're right, all of those adjustments making a big difference. Woody Page, what do you make of this game?
Well, hell, George, it's pretty easy to say they figured it out. They brought Billy Crystal to the game. Oh, yeah, they figured it out. They put Kawhi Leonard in a suite upstairs with his daughter in his lap. That's figuring it out. It's all about the Suns, that they had an off night. You've got Paul back from 11 days not being able to play basketball, and he looked like it, exactly. He couldn't shoot his mid-jumpers. None of them were going in. So his partner is having to wear a mask. And no wonder that he can't shoot the basketball. I mean, over the years, guys that have broken their noses, they just haven't been able to shoot as well. So when you take those two observations into effect, that they were shooting 25%, not only for the whole game, but they were combined for 3 for 12 in the fourth quarter, and they were missing Payne, who had come into the game and scored 29 when Paul was at home. We're going to see this turn around and see the Suns go back to exactly what they were doing before.
That sounds like a guarantee from Woody Page in the next game. J.A., how'd you see it?
Who would have thought we'd be talking about Cameron Payne as a critical right. component and his absence would loom so large in the conference finals? But congrats to him for playing his way up into that status. But certainly you knew that once he wasn't going to be able to play the second half, you're asking Chris Paul to log heavy minutes in the second half after not playing in the first 2 games, not being around the team. You knew that was going to be problematic. You also know he's
problematic. Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know if I explained this clearly enough. I get to say whatever I want. I'm in charge of the moots. You are still responsible for all of the regular banned words. I'm so sorry. I should have been more clear.
Well, you wonder, I was thinking also that I think Ty Lue will actually wind up, because he didn't get the Laker job, he would have won a championship, but this is better for his legacy because he's getting more credit
yes.
for what he's doing with the Clippers.
Jackie, more about the Suns or more about the Clippers?
I'm just still trying to figure out how you can guarantee Ty Lue would have won a championship with the Lakers. How do we know that? That's a supposition. I like Ty Lue a lot. He's a great coach. What I saw in this game was simple. The Clippers punched the Phoenix Suns in the mouth. Hmm. And by doing so, they caught them off guard, they put them on their heels, and it affected the way they played basketball. Pat Beverly, you cannot talk enough about him. He completely disrupted this game. He disrupted Devin Booker. He disrupted the offensive schemes of the Phoenix Suns. Can they recover from that? Yes, I think they can. But I will say this, too, about Cameron Payne being out. One thing that's different about Cameron Payne and Chris Paul is the pace of the game. When Paul was out, and I'm not saying they should want to play without Paul, but the game was faster, and that sometimes favors a guy like Devin Booker, who likes to get shots in the open floor.
Extra points to Woody Page for being the only one to mention the mask that Devin Booker wore. As someone who had to wear that in field hockey and basketball, it does absolutely affect you, and it steams up. It's not great.
Thank you.
Okay, we're off for a week after this, so I need to look ahead a little bit. How do you see the rest of this series playing out? And choose wisely, because when Tony is back, he is probably going to pay off the mutes and the points upon his return. So, George, you go first.
I'm sticking with my original prediction of Suns in seven. I think the Clippers come back 2-2 to Phoenix, though.
Woody?
Yes, the Suns. Win one in L.A., go back and dominate the series.
J.A.?
Yeah, we saw there was no emotional effect from that devastating Game 2 loss, but the math of it, the fact that they're going to have to win an additional game in Phoenix in addition to the one that they should have won already in Game 2, that's going to catch up with them. They lose in seven.
Jackie Mack?
Suns in seven, unless Kawhi Leonard gets out of that suite and back onto the court.
Okay, check out your mentions for the Clippers fans, everybody. Moving on, we got game two of the East Finals, and the Bucks are looking to even things up and take advantage of that home crowd inside and outside the building. That's been a great scene. Not going to be easy, though. The fifth-seeded Hawks have gone 6-2 in playoff road games. It's just game two of the series, so even mentioning the words must win would be ridiculous, right? So let's just say important. How important is tonight for the Bucks, J.A.?
They don't have to win for the sake of the series. They just won the last series after falling behind 2-0, and they had to win game seven on the road in that one, which they wouldn't hear. However, they cannot allow the Hawks, particularly Trae Young, to come in and just defile serve for him with those disrespectful lobs off the backboard and shimmies before the three-pointers. If they continue to do that, guess what? They're going to have to vacate five serve for him. They can't go back to Bradley Arena. That's been demolished. They'd have to go back to the old Mecca. That's what's going to have to happen if they don't do something about Trae Young disrespecting them in their home.
Jackie, I appreciated the defiling, but I imagine the Bucks didn't. What's the secret here for them?
The Bucks have to make shots. We talked about it the other day, Sarah, 22% on uncontested frees. That's not going to get it done. 0-for-9 from Chris Middleton. That's not going to get it done. If the Bucks are going to win, they have to shoot the ball better. Giannis did his part in game one. He did exactly what you want to do. He didn't stray out to that three-point line. They had 70 points in the paint. Everything about this game favored the Bucks except for their shooting. They got to knock down shots.
What about you, George?
So I'm glad the Hawks don't listen or look at any of my predictions, because I have picked against them in every series to this point in this season. And I'm still predicting that the Bucks will win this particular series. I just think they can overwhelm them. I think, as Jackie mentioned, Chris Middleton can play better. Jrue Holiday also has to be a bit more consistent. He was the best player on the floor in that first series against Miami in that sweep, but he has not been as consistent in this particular series. But don't give the Hawks any momentum. Don't give them any confidence in this series, because they can shoot the lights out. The Bogdanovich injury, I still think, is too big to overcome, but they are coming. There's no way about this. They are absolutely worthy as an opponent in this series.
Look, George, you're doing a fine job, and I'm listening to you handle it well, so I'm adding another one. Don't start any of your answers with so either from here on out. Woody Page, what you got?
I am going to agree with George about Holiday. Is he going to be out, or is Holiday in for this second game? Which is he going to be? I mean, we've seen a guy who's played incredibly well, but he's got to be a dominant force for them. You can't just have Middleton and Giannis taking total control of that team. They need the third wheel there. So I think that's really critically important. I think in terms of whether or not they're going to play defense is going to be critical, not must win, have to win, because they don't want to go to Atlanta. Atlanta continues to gain confidence the longer the playoffs go on. They can win on the road, and they definitely, when they're at home, their bench plays so much better. I think it's going to be difficult to go there 0-2 and come back and win this series.
George, you got something quick?
Yeah, real quick, the late game execution for the Bucks historically, really under Mike Budenholzer, has not been great. It certainly has been fantastic for Atlanta. That is something you don't want to get in a close game with the Hawks if you're the Bucks, because you're just not good at that.
100%. Big lead for the Bucks is huge down the stretch. Hey, can we talk about the Giannis free throw line? Because in the last 2-minute report from game one, the NBA did admit they made a mistake in not calling two of his 10-second violations. How big of a deal is this, Jackie?
Well, if it's in the two-minute report, Sarah, it's clear to me what's happening here. It's a red flag for the Milwaukee Bucks. We let it go this time. It's not going to happen again. We're going to start calling it. I think this is a very big deal. The only weakness in Giannis's game right now is what you're watching there.
J.A., how about you? Big deal?
They need to revisit this in the offseason. Look, it's clearly not a benefit to him. He's shooting 55% from the line. If you want to save time, how about you ban people leaving their positions to go dap up the free throw shooter, make or miss after the first free throw shot. I don't care how long he takes to shoot the free throws. No dap between free throws, though.
All right. Woody, is it the dap that's the problem or Giannis taking too much time?
In 1972, when I was covering basketball earlier, I wrote about the three problems involving free throws. That's one, guys jumping into the lane early. Secondly, standing on the line and that not being called. And third, taking longer than 10 seconds. Giannis said, I don't want to disrupt my routine. That routine isn't working. Why don't you try doing it with two dribbles, and maybe you'll actually shoot the ball better.
Taking too long, Woody, I don't know that he's going to go to you for advice. I think he's probably got that covered. Plenty of people giving him suggestions.
He should.
Last word from you here, George.
Yeah, Eric Nem, the great Bucks beat writer, wrote a story in 2016 that this was an issue for Giannis late in the 2015 season, and it did get in his head. So we've seen some of this become an issue in the past.
Good stuff, guys. I agree. If you're not going to call everything, why are we calling the one thing around the free throws that we decide to care about? I want to take a moment to talk about 1946. Harry S. Truman was president. It's a Wonderful Life was released. The Knicks played their first Basketball Association of America home game at MSG. And the Broncos and Nuggets were just a twinkle in someone's eye. Chalk was the newest fad, sweeping the nation, the most popular toy. And in Memphis, Tennessee, June 27th, 1946, 75 years, 10,000 mutes, and 11 dad jokes ago, Woodrow Wilson Page Jr. was born. Notably, sleeping
birthday,
in
man.
The drawer of his kitchen in his parents' three-room house. So happy 75th this Sunday, Woody.
All right, Woody.
We got Freddie Mercury, Cher, Dolly Parton, and Woody Page, the pride of 46. We'll be right back.
Love it, man.
There was no pride in 46.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Dallas Mavericks finalizing a deal to make Hall of Fame point guard Jason Kidd the franchise's new head coach. New Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle, who recently resigned after 13 years at the helm for the Mavs and has coached both Kidd and Luka Doncic, said Kidd plus Luka would be, quote, a great marriage. So, J.A., buy or sell Kidd and Luka sitting in a tree and Kidd as the answer for the Mavs.
I buy that relationship. I also buy the optics of the franchise bringing in a guy who won Rookie of the Year award in a Mavericks uniform, won a championship in a Mavericks uniform. I also love the Nico Harrison component, bringing in a Nike guy known for great people skills to handle the basketball operation.
I like your answer, but your people skills are terrible because I told you to respect the commish and I hit the wrong button, so you shouldn't respect me. It was a banned word that you said, and I told you not to, and you're still doing it. Don't test me. Jackie, what you think about this?
Well, I think it's an interesting choice. I thought it was curious that Rick went out of his way to give Jason Kidd such a strong recommendation. That seems a little out of character. Makes me wonder about the disconnect in his previous coaching staff, since Jamal Mosley was also one of the candidates. Jason Kidd, everywhere he went, it's ended badly, including, by the way, Dallas in 2012 when he and Cuban were going at it. Apparently they've mended fences, but I don't know if this would be the guy I would choose to lead my franchise.
So, George, Jackie thinks maybe out of character to give your successor such a ringing endorsement, especially if someone from your staff was also up for the job. What do you make of that?
I didn't necessarily take it as a compliment from Rick Carlisle. I thought that because he's coached both guys and there's been some discussion in the past that Rick has had to loosen the reins on them as opposed to other point guards, I thought that maybe that was not necessarily a compliment. I do like the Kidd hire. I'm buying that. I think that Jason has learned from guys like Frank Vogel and Lionel Hollins, who was on the Lakers staff, what he needs as far as coaching. Don't love the Harrison hire in this regard. I know Mark Cuban wants a guy with relationships because they failed in free agency in the past, but Michael Finley probably should have gotten that job in my estimation.
Woody Page, is Kidd the right man for the job?
Well, I'm shocked that nobody has mentioned on this show or anywhere else I've heard about Kidd and his personal problems that were created years ago. And the Mavericks had their own front office problems and were in trouble because of that. And you're going to bring those two together right now? I don't think it makes any sense whatsoever. Mosley should have been the coach.
Woody Page, I appreciate you bringing it up, but let's name it, right? Domestic violence, not personal problems. And that's something, obviously, that we should consider. And his relationships and his coaching efforts in the past and efforts to overturn some of those relationships. All right, moving on. With a win over Vegas in game 6 last night, the Montreal Canadiens have made their first Stanley Cup final in 28 years. C'est beaucoup. First team from Canada in the final since 2011, and they're the last team from Canada to win it all back in 93. Ça fait longtemps. So, Woody, what stands out from this run?
I was so excited when I saw them score the goal in overtime last night, and I thought about 38 years since a Canadian team, the Canadiens, actually won the Stanley Cup. Before that, there was only 6 years difference between a Canadian team winning the trophy, and to have an interim coach lead them to the championship.
What about you, J.A.?
I think it's weird that, or maybe it's just hockey, that three times in the last dozen years or so, the team with the worst record in the playoffs has gone to the Stanley Cup Finals, while the team with the best record has only done it twice. And the fact that the Canadiens are finally back in the Stanley Cup Finals and only 3,500 people can go to the arena.
What a bummer.
C'est dommage.
C'est dommage. Well done. Jackie Mac, what stood out to you here?
Yes, Trey Brin for the Canadiens. And I think the whole unit of Canada playing up there on their own, everybody was mocking them. All the poor Canadian teams, none of them are any good. Let them duke it out, and it's not going to matter come postseason. Au contraire. Au contraire.
Well done.
This is a very, very good story for hockey.
George.
Couple of things. The first thing that stood out to me was Cole Caulfield. This youngster is barely old enough to drink, but he is scoring tons of goals for them. He has been really the epitome of their offense here recently, and their youth in general, as I mentioned, has been fantastic. Price has been standing on his head. Their defense, they are 11-0 when they score two goals or more, and since they were down 3-1 to Toronto, they are 11-2. They are as hot a team as we've seen in a long time.
Hockey expert George Sedano out of nowhere. Which means we're going to have to say goodbye to Jackie Mack. And happy birthday, Woody. Extra vacation time to celebrate. By the way, interesting fact about these hockey playoffs. Third straight year that an interim coach has taken his team to the Cup final. And I'm wondering, can interim hosts win Emmys? Anyway, we'll be back for Showdown.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, so you thought we were going to skip the Cubs throwing a no-hitter. Mm-mm, not on my watch. If if only Plaschke were here to talk about the Dodgers' ineptitude last night. The seventh no-hitter in MLB this season, tied for the most in a season since 1900, but a combo no-no. How big a deal is this, George?
Big deal. Only the sixth time a defending champ has been no-hit in the Dodgers, and the first time, Sarah, that three former MVPs have been in a lineup and been no-hit.
Pretty impressive. What about you, J.A.?
Plaschke's not here. I'll take this L on behalf of Los Angeles, though. It's not that big a deal for the Cubs, though, because individuals should be a or no-hitter should be an individual achievement, not four or five guys doing it.
Okay, well, you said you wanted to take the L, so I'll give it to you. Point goes to George. Best two words in sports besides Spain's hosting. Game 7, Islanders, Lightning tonight in Tampa, home of the 8-0 throttling in Game 5. Kucherov is questionable for the Ning, but who isn't these days? J.A., who's showing up tonight and who's walking out with the win?
I feel like it's the Lightning. I just think a team that scores 12 consecutive goals during the course of a series has to win that series, doesn't it?
George, you tell us.
I'm going to say the Lightning simply because if you go back two seasons, they're 13-0 after a playoff loss, Sarah.
That is the stat I'm looking for. Unbelievable. 2 years without putting back-to-back playoff losses together. All right, let's move on. Rather than having players rock their team unis and caps for the All-Star game this year, MLB has introduced special jerseys and hats to be worn during the game, and they are special.
Meh.
The vertical team abbreviations, the floral cuff on the sleeves. It screams Denver. I'm almost afraid to ask, George, grade these jerseys.
A T for trash, okay? They're checking pitchers right now. They should be checking whoever created these things.
Oh, boy. J.A.?
D minus. The caps are fire, but the jerseys, that's your reward for making an all-star team? You get something like they give away at a tourist shop? It's terrible.
I mean, the T for trash. Inventing a whole new grading system. I don't know how you could say no to that. That's it. We have a winner. Play the music. 30 seconds of FaceTime to George Sedano.
Sarah, so it's been a very strange 36 hours for me. My heart is all over the place. I got my mom here in L.A. seeing her grandkids for the first time in 18 months. It's the anniversary of my father's death 3 years ago. And now this tragedy in Miami and Surfside at 1:30 in the morning, a building collapsed, 159 people still unaccounted for, four have passed away. It's just heartbreaking. I do want to commend the local teams, the Heat, the Dolphins, the Panthers, and the Marlins for getting to the site immediately and helping in any way they can. And our hearts and prayers obviously go out to the entire community.
Yeah, absolutely awful stuff, and great for them to step up and come out, the community showing their support. That's going to do it for us. George, thanks for your thoughts. Thanks to everybody for being nice to me. Thanks for coming around. We're taking a vacation. We're going to be back Tuesday, July 6th. Tony back at buffer than ever behind the sticks. See ya.